Welcome back. Last lecture, we discussed what are the different sources of finance. We also calculated the weighted average cost of capital. Today, let us see at the sources of finance with respect to the debt instruments. We're going to discuss in this chapter debt instruments like term loan, leasing, and hire purchase agreement when it comes to financial management. So today's session objective would talk about the concept of term loan, hire purchase and leasing. We'll also try to understand the objectives of financial decision making, to analyze the cash flows to determine what is lease versus borrowing, take decisions with respect to lease finance and term loan finance. We'll also try to navigate the difference between hire purchase and term loan. And we'll try to see if we can understand what is hire purchase versus term loan financing and learn the different technological tools to manage these long-term loans as well as leasing. Let's talk about term loans. What is a term loan? A term loan is basically a financing, instrument or a type where a financial institution like a commercial bank or any kind of special institution or an NBFC, non-banking financial institution, is lending money to the company for a period of 7 days to 1 year. The borrowed money which is taken in form of a lump sum. And the return is basically paid along with the interest. If you look at the term loan, it is the whole amount which would be repaid back along with the interest. That means each installment would comprise of the principal amount as well as stipulated interest. There will be a processing fee when you are borrowing this particular cost. The borrowing cost would be attached to this particular type of financing. If we talk about term loan, we basically look at larger financial corporations who are looking for diverse sources of finance, looking at term loan as one of the options. This particular term loan could help in larger expansion or diversification of an organization. This particular loan or this particular term loan, as it is rightly said, is also known as self-amortizing. Self-amortizing basically means you are taking money and promising to pay back a series of equal payment, with each payment being comprised of both interest as well as principal. So this can be the case if it's a fixed mortgage, there is a fixed payment to be done of interest and principal. If there is a floating interest rate, then the terms would change depending on the change in the interest rate. What do you mean by leasing? So lease is basically a contract between the lessor and the lessee. Lessor is one who's nobody else but the owner of the asset. So I own an asset and I intend to give it on rent to you with the ownership remaining with me. Such a particular contract is nothing known but it is known as a leasing. So leasing is nothing, lessor is nobody but the owner of the asset, and leasing is what the lessor does. He gets into an agreement or contract with the lessee in order to give his asset on rent. So you are mutually agreeing to get a consideration for somebody else using the asset. So I'm agreeing that you can use my asset for X amount of money to be paid to me every month, which is like a rental payment. Ownership of the asset is retained by me since I am the lessor. And you being a lessee would have a right to use my property, that means my asset, by paying me consistently over monthly payments or maybe quarterly payments, whatever has been defined in the terms of the contract. So what is leasing? It is an alternative or it is something similar to a term loan and usually would have an intermediate period of 5 to 10 years length of time. Two types of leasing would you actually find out, financial leasing as well as operational leasing. So the difference between both is in case of an operating lease, the lease period is very short. We said leasing could be done for 5 to 10 years. So an operating lease would have a lesser life or lesser term number of years compared to the life of the asset. So if the asset life is 10 years and the lease period is only for 5 years, I'll say it's an operating lease. So here the life of the equipment and maintenance is generally provided. And in case of financial lease, 75% of the equipment life gets covered. So if the life of the asset is like 10 years and I'm in the lease for 8 years, then in this case, I may also get a purchase option of the asset at the end of the lease. So that's primarily a difference between operating and financial. Operating is a shorter one. It would cover something less than 75% of the life of the asset. You may not have an option to buy back that asset. Whereas in case of a financial lease, the period would exceed 75% of the life. And after that, you would have an option whether to want to purchase that particular asset or no. There is no compulsion, but there could be an option. So we spoke about financial lease. We said financial or capital lease is another name for financial lease. It's basically a term loan package together with the purchase of the asset. So here, when I'm saying purchase of the asset, it's an option with the lessee. So I have an option whether I want to purchase it or no. And this particular agreement would have its own risk and reward associated with ownership. Till the time the ownership gets transferred from the lessor to the lessee, actual ownership will remain with the lessor till the time the lease is ongoing. So if the lease period is for 8 years, 8 years, the actual ownership of the particular asset is with the lessor and not with me as a company. If you further look at what are the characteristics of financial lease, so financial lease will basically have assets which are fully amortized to one lessee. The lessor plans to recoup his or her investment and required rate of return from one lessee. So I will show in my books of account as a lessor that I have an asset which I've given on lease to one particular individual, and the name of the individual would be there, and I'm going to say that I'm receiving a return on this asset in form of my lease payment. This particular lease is not cancelable without any substantial penalty. If you are the lessee and you're cancelling this particular agreement, there would be a penalty attached in the agreement which you need to bear. And as a lessee, you will be responsible for paying any kind of taxes, maintenance, insurance, or any kind of upkeep of the asset. And the lessor would determine any kind of liability limits in all these expenses. If you look at a contract life, we discussed that the contract life is a very important feature. So here, when you're talking about financial lease, it would be always more than 75% since it comes with the buyback option. It could also be the entire useful economic life of the asset. So it could be 100% also. This particular lease contains a purchase option. So it's 75% and above. It could be entire 100% as discussed. It does not hold any expense. So if you talk about lease, when I say does not expense the lease payments, so in the books of account, I would show this, this particular lease. If I've taken an asset on lease, it will be shown as an operating expense and this lease becomes a liability. The interest portion of each lease is deducted and the asset also is depreciated. So you get twice benefit. You get benefit of depreciation. You also get benefit with respect to your lease payment, which gets deducted from your profit, and there's tax benefit on it. Now, what are the advantages of leasing? Okay, this financial lease looks very lucrative. So let us understand what is the benefit. Why not take a term loan and why go for leasing? So first advantage of leasing is balanced cash outflow. So being a company, I don't want to incur a high capital expenditure in my initial years of operation by buying the asset. So because there would be a down payment involved, even if I take a term loan on buying the asset, I don't want to bear that particular expense. So since there is a very big cash outflow happening in term loan, I would go for leasing as an option where I'm paying some equal installments or some minimum installments to acquire the asset. The acquisition of the asset becomes after the lease term is over, but my cash outflows are spread over the life of the asset. That's the first advantage of leasing. So the company is able to manage its cash flows well because of going into a leasing contract, then purchase agreement or term loan. Second is quality assets. Since you are, as a company, you want to invest in the best technology, machinery. There is a probability that there is a huge cost associated with this machinery, and it's difficult for the company to bear that cost in this initial maybe 4 or 5 years. If that's the case, leasing becomes a very good option because you're not going to pay any big lump sum amount of money to acquire the asset. Since it's equal payment across the life of the asset, the entire capital expenditure is spread across a number of years. So you could buy better quality asset, you can invest into better assets, better technology, latest and the most modernized machine in case you're going for leasing over term loan or buying the asset. Better usage of capital. So leasing helps you to put in capital in, you know, small payment terms, and that's the reason we say leasing gives an advantage of utilization of capital at its optimum, where the expenses are accounted well, and on those expenses also you're getting some kind of tax benefit, which is my fourth point. So you get a tax benefit for your leasing payments, as it would be shown as an operating expense, and you could also show asset to be depreciated in your books at the later stage. So you could also show the leasing asset, you could show your lease payment as rental payments as an expense. It's a off balance sheet debt. So when we're talking about leasing, I'm actually taking a particular asset on debt. However, I don't record this in my balance sheet as a debt instrument. Fine. So I'll say leasing is an option of buying an asset on debt terms. However, it's not recorded in the balance sheet and it is shown as an expense. So this particular leasing becomes an off balance sheet liability. So it's an off balance sheet liability. Better to get debt. However, some banks or financial institution, while doing valuation of the company, do consider this as part of their debt to find out the true intrinsic value of the company. But if you look at the financial statements, it's not mentioned in the balance sheet. Next is better planning. Leasing helps you to pay the money over equal installments. You are only doing this to save a lot of capital expenditure happening today in this year when you're paying a huge sum of down payment or you want to purchase the asset. So this helps you to better plan your financials. Your ratios also taken into care. You don't see a lot of money draining out in the company while you are doing a capital expenditure. This helps, since you are doing a better planning for your financial statements, I'll say there's a lower capital expenditure involved. I am not pooling a huge sum of money, huge cash outflow. I'm spreading it across number of years. So the cash outflow is also spread across in different payments, which ensures capital is utilized to the optimum. There is no risk of obsolescence. You are buying the latest technology, you are buying the most modernist plant or asset or any kind of property. Since that's the case, you are using the latest one. So there is very less risk of the technology of the asset to become outdated. That means today I may get into a plant which is automated. However, we see a lot of manufacturing plants now which are using robotics as a technology. And if I, as a company, do not have so much of capital to invest into a robotic plant, why not set up a robotic machinery with the help of lease? If that's the case, I am now not worried for this particular technology to become obsolete, because robotics is the latest technology in the manufacturing domain and the life is better compared to an automated machine. Next would be a termination rights. In case of a leasing, the lessor and lessee get into an agreement where it is very clearly mentioned who is allowed to exit when and how. So the lessee cannot just cancel the contract. If it's done, there would be a penalty involved in this. Similarly, the lessor would also not get into any kind of such terms which says they'll just not terminate the contract anywhere. That is clearly mentioned in the contract. So termination rights remain with the lessor. There is no such rights which gets exercised usually. It's taken care between mutual understanding of both the parties. There's an access to latest technology, because when you're leasing, you're getting the best technology. You will always try to get the latest asset. So there are a lot of financial institutions who actually buy these companies, who buy these assets, which are latest on technology and sell it to people. Or big manufacturing companies are now looking at leasing their assets to their customers. In case there is a huge capital expenditure involved for the company per se to be comfortable in buying that particular technology. So you'll be able to get the latest technology, most upgraded setup. There's a lot of flexibility when it comes to leasing, since the contract is mutually or the agreement is mutually decided. You're flexible to discuss the term how you want to do it. The same cannot be done in the case of term loan. Term loan would usually have its own feature where RBI comes into picture. You would have a particular rate of interest. You would have your payment terms. for a banking institution. But in case of leasing, there's a lot of flexibility how you want to take this particular, you know, entire leasing agreement and how would you actually exchange the asset. The maintenance and upkeep, usually in most of the contract, is also done by the lessor. So there is a possibility that when you're taking it on lease, the lessor agrees to maintain the particular asset. If that's the case, it also helps you to ensure better maintenance and repair work for your lease, for your particular asset. Even if the lessee is paying for it, it's definitely taking the, you know, knowledge and expertise of the lessor who is giving the asset to understand how well to maintain this particular asset. So a lot of maintenance and upkeep is taken care in this entire period of economic life of the asset. Risk management, leasing ensures smaller cash outflows. So the risk of default or the risk of you running out of cash to pay the payments is comparatively lesser. It also ensures or it also manages your risk of running the business at a better pace in case you feel in this leasing agreement, things are not working out with a particular plant and you want to upgrade or you want to take, you know, start up and take up a new asset or new technology. So you could discuss that with your lessor and change the entire setup, which is not possible very easily in case of you purchasing a set or taking a set on term loan. There's an improved budgeting when we talk about leasing. Leasing helps you to budget your expenses well. You know what, how much would be your, you know, leasing payments, leasing rentals, in, you know, in irrespective of you paying entire sum. So yes, it would improve your budgeting, your cost would be taken care of, and you are in a better position to understand how to deal with money in the coming years. So if you've already forecasted and planned your expenses for the entire economic life of the asset. There is also an working capital preservation, since you are not blocking your entire money in purchasing of, you know, a particular machinery for the project in the first go. You have saved on that particular money and that money could be utilized for working capital of the project. So you'll be able to manage your working capital levels better. You'll have better cash in hand and you would not have to go for another short-term financing. So these are some of the advantages of leasing. Leasing does have a few disadvantages too. One of the disadvantage of leasing is lease is shown as an operating expense. Since it's an operating expense, it is not part of my balance sheet. I cannot show it as an asset with value. So that's the biggest disadvantage. Moreover, I'm saying it's an expense. So my shareholder profitability becomes less. My equity shareholders will not be happy with the profit coming down because I am paying the operating expenses, which is my lease expenses. There is limited financial benefit at times. We see that leasing is usually till 75% to 100%, you have a purchase option. In case you have a lease for a lesser term, maybe, you know, just 50% of the life of the asset, then it's a clear-cut expense. You don't own the asset. And that's the biggest financial disadvantage because you are actually giving up, you know, you're paying for the expense and you don't own the asset anyways. Third is you would have a reduced return for equity holder. As I told you, if the company thinks of, you know, just leasing out a lot of assets and it's not part of your balance sheet, your expenses are increasing. You don't have your assets in place to showcase. And so you are, it since it being off balance sheet debt, it impacts the equity shareholders' profitability. So intrinsic value gets impacted. However, the balance sheet shows a different picture. A lot of research analysts, banks, and financial institutions would calculate the intrinsic value calculating all the leases which the company have actually taken. So they would consider these assets even if the company shows it off balance sheet. So the return for equity shareholders reduces as the company would look like overvalued when it looks at financial statement. And every analyst would like to, you know, make this particular value true by calculating the right intrinsic value. So it impacts the equity shareholder. We talked about debt. See, leasing is one form of a debt which you are taking. Even if you say it's off balance sheet, it's very much to be, you know, understood that in case of leasing, it is a form of debt which you are committing by paying off some kind of payments every month, every quarter or 6 months. And this debt, if the lease agreement has that purchase of asset there, it looks good. If not, it's a complete expense for the company, which is not a good sign. I would have owned the asset by purchasing it or taking it on term loan instead of leasing. There's limited access of other loans since now this gets added to your debt. Lease is added to your debt to calculate how much money do you have in hand to pay off future debt, EMIs. That means interest and principal. So your credit, taking capacity diminishes. So you have limited access to take further credit from any banks or financial institution. There is a lot of processing and documentation work when it comes to leasing. Contract is made, it is read, it is mutually decided. There are a lot of terms documented. Okay, processes are documented. Whereas in case of term loan, banks have all these ready. In leasing, both the parties are making it together. So it takes comparatively longer time. The process is longer compared to a bank. There is no ownership in case of an asset, in case of leasing, till the time the contract stays the same or the economic life of the asset is about to get over or utilized more than 75% of the economic life. So there is no ownership. There could be an option to purchase it to a lessee, but no ownership. That's the biggest disadvantage of leasing. So I'm going to pay money for using the asset, but I don't have ownership of the asset even after 8 years or 10 years of the economic life of asset and so on. So maybe I use it for 6 years and still don't have an option to purchase it. So leasing have this disadvantage. Talking about maintenance of the asset, a lot of lessors don't want to, even maintain the asset. They may just push it on to the lessee and say you pay for even the maintenance and upkeep of the asset. Similarly, it could be another way where the lessor says, I will do the upkeep and maintenance and does not repair it or does not maintain it well. So it has a disadvantage because here if I am the lessee and I am using the asset, instead of me managing it well, or maybe I have to pay an extra money towards it because I have no knowledge about the technology or the plant, or I'm paying the lessor who's not maintaining it well. So maintenance could be an issue when it comes to such an asset. And there's a limited tax benefit because it's an operating expense. It's an expense. You get a limited interest, rebate. However, the biggest disadvantage is decrease in the profitability of the company. So these are few disadvantages when it comes to leasing. However, leasing looks very lucrative. Fine. Now, what are the sources from where these leasing funds can come? So how can I get into a leasing agreement? With whom can I get into a leasing agreement? So there could be an independent leasing company, a company whose business is basically to acquire the best assets and lease it out to, other companies. It's as good as trading. So I'll purchase the asset, I'll own the asset, and I'll give it on rent to you. So there are independent leasing companies who do that. There are insurance companies who are also into the leasing business. They are also part of leasing funds. They can help you get such kind of parties. Banks are involved. So banks are also, at times part of the leasing fund. They help you in finding out the right lessor or a lessee. They'll try to match it up for you. There could be pension funds or industrial or development agencies who are into leasing of different kinds of assets. So banks usually would do such kind of leasing for the assets which they have acquired or, which they have, they would have acquired from the customer who was not paying of the payments. So they have a pool of assets created for all the NPAs, which they can give it on lease. So it could be banks, it could be pension funds, industrial development agencies, or insurance companies. Insurance companies here play a very important role because for each leasing agreement, there is also an insurance which you would have to remove for that particular lease. Banks' role become important because banks are a party for all the payments to be transferred between the lessor and the lessee. And pension funds and industrial development agencies would also help you to utilize the money for any such kind of leasing funds. Now, let's talk about how would this cash flow analysis be used to determine the lease and borrowing. So what cash flow analysis should you do to understand whether you should purchase the asset on term loan or you should go it for lease? So if you look at the timeline of the asset, the cost of purchasing the asset, the entire estimated life of the asset, and the estimated life of the term loan, you will be able to understand whether it is good to finance the asset or purchase the asset. These costs are usually discounted into present value terms. So I'm going to pay, say, 1 lakh rupee after 2 years. What is the present value of that 1 lakh rupees today? So I will use the concept again of time value of money. Find out the present value of this to find out what is the after-tax cost in case of term loan. And after doing so, I'll be in a better position to compare between a term loan and a lease. In case there is a debt which carries a coupon rate of 10%, an applicable rate is 40%. I'm getting a tax benefit. It's a debt instrument. I'll say 10%, 1 minus 0.4. The nominal, the rate, the real rate at which I'm getting this particular investment done is only 6%. So the cost to the company is just 6% and not 10% because of the 40% advantage in the tax benefit. Since these lease payments are generally due to beginning of the lease period, lease would always have an alternate represent as an annuity date. Lot of lease agreements is pay, you know, every year or every year renew the contract with the terms defined. So how would the net lease cost be defined? I'll say the net lease cost is nothing but the gross lease cost multiplied again 1 minus tax for the tax benefit plus gross lease cost 1 minus tax benefit multiplied by present value of future annuity, the percentage interest rate, n minus 1 is for the 1 year minus the next year. So what am I finding out? I'm finding out what is my total lease cost, the cost which I paid now for starting this year, plus all the future payments of which I have found out the present value. Okay. So if you look at this particular formula, it tells you how much of cash inflows and outflows are happening and what is the applicable tax rate. What benefit do you get in case of lease? This will help you to actually find out what is your net lease cost. You could compare this with your term loan and decide which borrowing is better, whether it is leasing or it is term loan. Now, let us look at how would you take a decision whether you want to take a lease finance or you want to go for term loan finance. What are the difference between both of these particular financing instruments? So first, when you talk about lease finance, in case of lease finance, there is no requirement of any down payment. Whereas in case of term loan finance, it will always come with a down payment for the asset to be purchased. In case of a lease finance, there is an option of buying the asset. Okay, whereas in case of term loan finance, you are the owner of the asset, compulsory you have to buy the asset from day one. In case of a lease finance, there is no security in any form which could be asked by the funding institution, that means by the lessor. But in case of a term loan finance, the company may ask you to pledge some kind of collateral if it doubts your credibility. So there could be a collateral security or any other primary asset which both could be attached in case of a security. When it comes to presentation in financial statement, the value of the asset here in case of leasing is not included in the financial statement. Whereas in the term loan financing, the asset would appear on the asset side and there would be a corresponding liability on the debt side of the balance sheet. Talking about tax implication, since you're only going to claim the lease rental as your operating expenses, that would be the tax rebate or benefit which you get. Whereas in case of term loan finance, you can claim interest on loan as well as the depreciation amount of the asset to save your taxes. Talking about cash flows, there is no purchase of asset. The cash flow is limited. If you're looking at the outflows, it's spread across the economic life of the asset. Whereas the cash flow includes here the down payment, loan which we have received, purchase, any installment paid at a particular time, or any kind of processing fees, all are your cash outflows in case of term loan financing. When we talk about the transfer of risk, in case of lease finance, risk of the asset devaluation is transferred to the lessor. So there is only an asset devaluation, which is a risk to the lessor. Whereas in case of term loan finance, the user of the asset has to bear the entire risk of the asset devaluation. So in case there is any kind of, you know, change in technology which is making my asset obsolete, in case of leasing, the entire risk is with the lessor. Whereas in case of term loan, it would be with me as I am the owner of the asset. Similarly, there is another one more financing, debt financing instrument, which is hire purchase agreement. Now, what's a hire purchase agreement? See, hire purchase agreement is that contract in which you are committing to purchase the asset by paying equal installment over a number of years, and only after you pay the last installment, you become the owner of that particular asset. So hire purchase gives you an option to pay your principal or interest of the asset in equal installment, and you only become the owner at the after you pay the last installment. So it's a type of contract which would be used again if you want to ensure that you have better cash flows. And in case of term loan, you are the owner from day one. When we talk about credibility, in case of higher purchase agreement, there's less reliance on credit score. So maybe my credit score is not very good. It's difficult for me to get a term loan. So I'm looking at a higher purchase contract on agreement. And usually this approval would more depend on the asset value. If the asset has really high value, I'll be okay entering into a higher purchase agreement with you and give you funding. Whereas in case of term loan, it's the credibility of the owner that you get a term loan. And at times you can even bargain for a cheaper rate if you have a better credibility in the market. Talking about ease of raising money, in case of higher purchase, it is easier to obtain the asset itself because here the asset itself is a collateral. Because if I am the person who's financing you, I'm giving you an asset on higher purchase, you only become the owner after you pay the entire money, all the installments. Whereas in case of term loan, the asset, you are already an owner. So it requires me, when I'm funding you, I'll always check a very strong creditworthiness of your business financials, and any kind of collateral which you can give to take this particular term loan. If we talk about access, in case of higher purchase agreement, they are accessible, they are faster accessible. As the process is faster, lender may even charge you a comparatively more percentage since it's giving you the money early. Whereas in case of term loan, it would take longer due to credit. There could be a lot of checks, there could be financial analysis and collateral evaluation which could be done by financial institution. So term loan processing takes more time compared to a higher purchase agreement. If you further look at higher purchase and term loan, cost of the asset in case of higher purchase is nothing but the normal cash price plus the higher purchase interest. So you're going to pay the purchase price of the asset plus you're paying the higher purchase interest, which is usually more than the term loan. And in case of term loan, you are paying an installment which comprises of both principal and interest. If we talk about repossession of the higher asset, once you as a buyer stops making the higher purchase money, you stop paying the installment, as a seller or financer, I have entire right to take away the asset. But in case of term loan, I will not only take away the asset, but I also take away all the collaterals attached to the asset. So in case of term loan, since you have given a collateral, I have entire right to take away the asset plus the collateral. Whereas in the higher purchase, since it's have a higher interest rate and your collateral is the asset itself, you can only take away the asset. In case of mortgage of assets in the form of security, there is no security in any form required for taking or getting into a higher purchase agreement. Whereas in term loan, you would have to pledge your assets, you would have to put something as a collateral or a security to get a term loan. Talking about financial statements, how would a higher purchase agreement look like? The value of the asset is not included in the financial statement when we talk about higher purchase. Since you are not the owner, you cannot show this as your asset till the time you pay the last installment. Whereas in case of term loan, from day one, the asset on which you have taken loan, you are the owner of that particular asset and it will be shown under the asset side. Whereas a liability would be created on the opposite side of a bank loan on buying a particular asset. So that would be seen on the liability side. There is a risk involved in holding the asset. In case of higher purchase, I'll say it's a half rule which states that user can return the asset, terminate the contract or agreement given to the seller in case you find any kind of discrepancy or there is by giving a notice in writing. Whereas in term loan, you are the user of the asset, you're the owner of the asset, you've already taken the asset. So the asset gets devalued if you're actually going to change the asset because of any change in technology or it becoming obsolete. So higher purchase has lesser risk compared to a term loan. This is about the three different styles, that is term loan, financing, higher purchase. Now let us also understand what are the modern tools or technologies which are used in order to manage these term loans and lease finance management. So first, there are a lot of financial management softwares which are now available, wherein all these assets which are given on lease or taken on lease or assets which are procured could be added in, could be analyzed for the number of years, how much payment to be done, present value of these cash outflows to decide whether it is really profitable for a company to go for lease, hire, purchase or a term loan. So you may use this financial management software. It could be Excel based or different portals to manage these lease assets. There is also a loan origination software. This is usually used by NBFC, financial institution and banking institutions. So this software will give you entire analysis, a particular asset, credibility of, you could actually find out the credit score of the person who's asking you a term loan. So this software will also help you to find out the principal and the EMI payment, make a table automatically for whatever loan or lending you are doing. So this is another one, new development of technology, making it easier to give term loan or any kind of, even getting into a leasing agreement. So this loan origination software has become one of the highly used or exploited software by NBFCs and banks. There is also a customer relationship management system. This system would send you reminders that there is a EMI payment due. You need to pay your EMI. How much is your EMI? How much installment paid? How much installment remaining? And it will also, flag the relationship manager if you have defaulted on any of your payment so that you can get a follow-up call, why you have not paid it, etc., etc. So customer relationship management system is also used to manage all these kind of lendings which the company does. There is a document management system, very, very important for companies who are into leasing. See, leasing requires a lot of documentation work. You are making the terms on your own. You're mutually deciding. For every customer, the agreement could be unique. If that's the case, the entire process and document needs to be kept in a proper form. And how would I come to know what are the different, terms which I have planned? So document management system would help you basically bifurcate the terms and help you to manage each individual or each customer properly. So that's very much required in case you're going for a leasing finance option. You also require an accounting software to calculate the tax benefits and to understand how would this impact your balance sheet and income statement. You'll use different risk management tools to check how much of your cash outflow inflow is happening, how the present value of this cash inflow or outflow is, and whether this particular investment into an asset is really credible or no. So you could use different risk management tools and check the risk return analysis for each option. You may also use business intelligence tool. You can create a Power BI dashboard for different lease assets which the company have. You may also check how a decision of buying could impact your top line or your bottom line, and how does the financial position or intrinsic value changes for the equity shareholder. For that, BI tools could be used so that you know whether it's leasing is more better for an equity shareholder or going for a term loan. You could also look at payment processing system. As I told you, lending institution would give leasing or loan to lakhs of people. So this processing, process payment services, I may have a tie-up being a leasing company with a lot of banks, credit companies, or maybe, a particular system or software to collect the money. So my payment processing system could be completely different. It would be attached to my CRM, obviously, but yes, I could have a separate payment processing system which manages my entire payment from all my customers. There are a lot of compliance and regulatory softwares also now available. So Reserve Bank of India has their own norms with respect to term loan. And so looking at RBI requirements, I may have a compliance and regulatory software which would do a compliance check of the agreement, of the credibility of the loan which is given, whether I I don't fall into a place where there is an NPA created. So I would also have a compliance and regulatory software where all the Reserve Bank of India norms are put in with respect to lending for me to check if I am within the norms or no. So say, for example, I want to check what is the SLR requirement my bank is meeting or no. So that's part of compliance and regulatory software. Similarly, for lending also, how much percent of my deposit I can lend, whether it's within the limits or no. So that could also be checked by the compliance and regulatory software before I getting into a lending decision. Next is reporting analytics. The financial company, whoever is your lessee or whoever is a person to whom you have given term loan, you could check the credibility of that particular custom, customer with your reporting and analytics. So we do have a CIBIL score in place. However, with CIBIL, all other, you know, assets of that particular or, you know, person, owner of the asset who wants to take a loan, or whoever comes to you for any kind of lending requirement, could also be checked. And there are a lot of mobile apps and customer portals, which now these NBFCs and banks have started, which will give you a quick fix solution, like whether you're eligible for a loan or no. Fine. So you may also look at a mobile app or a customer portal to check whether you would be able to get any kind of term loan from a bank or a financial institution. No. So this is a new wave of technology and tools supporting the entire leasing business, or I'll say term loan business. And this is about this chapter of debt instruments. In the next chapter, we'll talk about further different debt instruments available for a company to raise finance in the market. Thank you.